one's ever tried to turn this love around. I don't wanna give up, but baby, it's time I had two feet on the ground. Can you?
You listen to Live with Rank. Online with me is Dr. Gary Wolfram. He holds the William E. Simon Chair of Economics at Hillsdale College, our esteemed economist here on the Live with Rank show, as well as the state of Michigan and Hillsdale College. And I chose this song because I think companies are just begging to be released. And you're seeing what's happening now with all the great positive movement that has started to happen, and some of it is just because the attitude towards businesses has changed with this new administration and this new political body that has come in there. It's gone from hatred of businesses. Businesses are bad. Businesses are there to exploit you. Businesses take advantage of you to one that, no, we want to encourage business. And part of that releasing is this whole corporate tax structure, as well as our individual tax structure. And we're talking about an article written by Stephen Forbes, Larry Kudlow, Arthur Laffer, and Stephen Moore yesterday. Why are Republicans making tax reform so hard? And he gave the three planks that these four brilliant minds, well, at least I know three of them. Is Larry Kudlow a brilliant mind, Dr. Wolfram?
Actually, he's the only one of the three of the four that I don't know either.
Okay, I know who Larry Kudlow is.
I know that some of my friends do know him and have been on his show and do like him a lot and think that he's quite brilliant.
Okay, that's the one. I just haven't followed him enough to be able to tell if where they would stand in that. And they basically gave a three planks. First, cut the federal corporate and small business tax, highest tax rate to 15% from 35. Dr. Wolfram started the show or the segment or this interview off with saying that he believed it it could even be zero, because every economic study or book out there, am I saying this correctly, say there shouldn't be any corporate income tax.
Well, it certainly causes all sorts of economic distortion, and the economy is
well. Less what do you mean to us lay people by economic distortion? Sorry for talking over you, but
Because what it does is it changes your behavior in a way that makes there's going to be less production, and there's going to be less therefore less goods and services, and are going to change it in a particular way that makes it that you, the laborer, are less productive and therefore are going to get paid less, because it taxes the return to capital. And I mean, think about how it really works is if you own stock in Ford Motor Company, or your pension fund owns stock in Ford Motor Company, and Ford Motor Company earns $100, 35 cents of that goes off to the federal government, another 6 cents goes off to the state government in Michigan, and then if they distribute to you as a dividend, it gets taxed again based on what your personal income tax rate is. Or if you sell your stock and get a capital gain, then it's taxed at 10 or 15%, depending on what your tax bracket is. But nonetheless, it gets taxed over and over again, and it only makes sense. Let's just tax the income. Actually, if you tax the income the same way that you did if you own your own business, or if you own your own personal business and you earn income, what happens? That income gets transferred just directly to you on your income tax. Doesn't get taxed at your company. Gets taxed only at it as it goes to you. We should do that with Ford Motor Company. That is, if you're a owner in Ford Motor Company, when it makes profit this year, some of that gets assigned to you. You pay your income tax. That goes back to the 1930s, and Henry Simons wrote about this in the 1930s. But corporate income tax is more fun because people think, as you pointed out earlier, that corporations pay it and they don't.
Exactly right. Now, second was allow businesses to immediately deduct the full cost of their capital purchases. So they're saying full expensing of new factories, equipment, and machinery will jumpstart business investment, which since 2000 has grown at only one-third the rate recorded from 1950 to 2000. Okay, I understand what they mean about allowing businesses to immediately deduct the full cost of their capital purchases. But how explain how that then jumpstarts everything.
Okay, because let's say you buy a computer. You own a business and you buy a computer for, $1,000. You don't get to, I don't want to get too far out of the weeds. I mean, it turns out if it's small enough that you can expense it already. But let's say you build a factory and it costs $500,000. I don't get to deduct that when I make that expenditure. What has to happen is I have to get a deduction a little piece at a time over the next 27.5 years or whatever number of years that the Internal Revenue Code decides that you can depreciate this thing over time. So instead of being able to subtract it all at once, I got to subtract it off over time. And that means that the benefit to me of the subtraction is less than it would be if I got it today. If someone said to you, I'll give you a dollar today, or I'll give you a dollar 15 years from now, you'd rather have the dollar today because you could invest that dollar and earn, money on it over the next 15 years. So that's one problem. The other problem.
So are you saying with that that it actually kind of maybe pushes them over the hump to actually make that investment?
Exactly, because it's more expensive to make that investment, if I could just deduct it today. And so what's going to happen? Less machines are going to get made, less factories are going to get built, anything else, right?
And then that goes down the line.
There's going to be less of it.
Right. All those people that would be employed to create the new factory or machinery, it's less of them. It's just a domino effect. And go ahead.
And you don't have that machine or you don't have that factory to work in, and so your wages are lower than they otherwise would be.
Okay, and you said there was a second part to that.
Yeah, the second part is economic depreciation may be much faster. Let's say you buy $500,000 worth of computers, okay, and the actual physical life of those things might be 5 years. So you get to deduct this thing over 5 years, but after 3 years, those computers aren't valuable anymore. And so what do? You get rid of them and you buy new computers. So you didn't get to depreciate the whole amount. And economic depreciation could easily be faster than the amount that you're allowed under the Internal Revenue Code to depreciate, the amount of time that you can deduct it in the Internal Revenue Code. So the bottom line is it makes it more expensive to buy a machine, and if there's less expense, you'll have less machinery. If there's less machinery, then wages will be lower, output will be lower, prices will be higher, and as they pointed out, I believe, in their article, that whenever you cut the income tax, what happens? Wages rise. Well, that shouldn't be surprised if you've had principles of economics.
Exactly. And in fact, I wrote an article this morning. We were talking about it in the first hour. Does your 18 to 34-year-old live with you? And it has exploded from 1975 to today. How many 18 to 34-year-olds live with their parents and not with their spouses? It actually flipped. And part of that is probably because of the cost of living and wages not keeping up with the cost of living.
And if you look, it's been investment, what we call investment demand, that has not moved. But as I think they point out, that you don't have the same amount of factories and machinery, et cetera, as a percentage of gross domestic product of the total output. That has been the drag on the economy. And that drag on the economy is a particular problem because it means there's less capital stock over time for us to have, and so that's what's dragging wages, and that's what's causing the drag in wages in middle class America.
I understand. I want to get to the third point. I'm not going to have time now. We'll wait and do that in the next segment. You have a time, do you not, Dr.
Yeah.
Wolfram?
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that. And to his point about those computers being, you can depreciate them over five, but they only go 3 years. Something I thought of when he was talking about that is, let's say a piece of machinery that is in a production line that actually has a life. So we can only use this machinery for, you know, after X amount of hours of use, it is no good anymore. Diamond tip, whatever. And they work it all the time. So instead of 5 years, it destroys itself in 3 years. Maybe that helps. We'll be right back after this.